It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Derek Pearson, brought to you by Canopy Street Market.
Boom. In your face.
In your face.
As Dave Chappelle would say it.
In your face, man. In your face.
11 o'clock on a Tuesday. You get one-on-one all week this week. All week next week until Carrick comes back. Second week of August. Gets you ready for football season, but it's camp time for the Huskers. The Starter Hammond text line, 402-464-5685. If you want to be a part of the show, and you can. Hit me up. Hit me the what's up. And we'll include you in the conversation. Greatly appreciate you hanging out. You can follow on all the live video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, LO Channel 961, if you like. Download the Ticket app, please, so we can go wherever you are. Take us with you. We'd like to go. We'd like to go wherever you are. As a matter of fact, you can tell us where you are today, listening to 93.7 The Ticket one-on-one. Jake Bakoven overrunning the board. Bach, if you would please, we have an hour one sponsor. Would you please?
Yes, hour one is sponsored by Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest quality technology and communication services since 1901. Whether it's residential or business, Hamilton has the answers. Visit HamiltonTel.com for more info today.
Visit Hamilton. Do that. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. There's lots in play, and in hearing, Eric Chappelle had some other words that we cannot use based on the FCC and its rules and regulations. The fines are too substantial. We have to do that, right? Simple biz. Simple biz. You guys are funny. I was just paying attention. I just looked at the text. Gave AD some shoes. So he bought a pair, and then because of the generosity of Rebecca Pearson, he got a second pair for free. But I'm a shoe guy. I don't know what it is. Like, I try to explain it to Becky that as a recovering poor kid, the biggest scars of my adolescence was being broke, not having money. And I don't know what, I've had this conversation on air before, but I don't know what you called the lowest level of shoe that you can buy for a child. But we had, what's the biggest grocery store chain here? Back in my childhood, it was called the A&P. You familiar with that at all?
A&P? Uh-uh,
so imagine like Safeway,
mm-hmm.
Whatever that is, right? Hy-Vee, but maybe not, maybe in some of the poorer places. But the A&P was our local grocery store that we would go to. And in that store, and this kind of, so think, it also had other things, right? So it had appliances, it had whatever. But you would go, and in the middle of the store, it had this, like, fenced basket. So the you know, a wired basket. And in that basket was this bucket, a buffet of bad shoes. Now, circa 1968, 69, 70, 71, 72. This is before the Nike Run, Pro Keds and Converse, Canvas Converse. You know, Canvas Pro Keds. Like, if you had money, Pro Keds was kind of the jam. Converse, right? High top or low top. If you were stylish, chic, you had money. I don't know what rich kids wore. I don't know. I went to rich schools, but I was the poor kid in the rich schools. I was bussed into white, predominantly white schools on the other side of the tracks. On the other side of the tracks, Bach. I was from 8 Mile. They were from 9 Mile. They were on the other side. And yeah, pay less, but less. Like less than pay less. Bach, they had this bin of shoes that was probably 6 foot tall. Right? You could see through it, right? So imagine like a fence. But you would have to deep dive, and parents would send their kids, they would just go barreling into these shoes, and they'd be attached, you know, by pair. And then they had a little tag on it that tells you what size it was, right? You had to go through. But these shoes were 99 cents a pair. Now, we called them wolf dogs. And if you came to school on the first day of school wearing wolf dogs, you were poor. Like you were gonna catch heat. You were gonna catch heat. This was the equivalent of drinking generic soda. You know, where you go in the store and the cans say soda.
Yeah.
Like it just says soda. It doesn't say Coca-Cola, it says soda. Juice. It just says juice. It says cheese. Meat product. That's how poor we were. And, you know, there are 8 kids in the family. So, listen, you got hand-me-downs. But in those neighborhoods, people had already seen those clothes on your family members. But my hand-me-downs were difficult because my older brother, there was a gap between in ages. So I had 3 older sisters between me and my older brother. So hand-me-downs, you know, they'd have to be in the closet for 3 years, right? They were in a box being stored for me to grow into them. But these wolf dogs, and they called them wolf dogs because they were black. They looked like black Converse, except for not. Like, they didn't have the logo, and it was made with cheaper canvas. And the reason why they called them wolf dogs is that they were so cheaply made that if you wore them for any number of hours, the tongue of the shoe would just slide to either side, and it would look like a dog's tongue hanging out the shoe. And they wouldn't last long, right? You could wear them. You would run them out. They had a little line on it that would let you know when you were wearing them out, right? A little black line that if that started to fade, it was telling everybody, listen, poor dude, go get you. Now, I delivered newspapers from the age of 8 until 18. And that was how I got, because, listen, this was in the preppy era. This was in the Izod Jordache jean era. So I look terrible. There's a picture that I share on a regular basis of me as a 12-year-old, 7th grade. No, 14 years old. 14 years old. And they take a color picture of you. And I am in a denim suit for class picture. A denim suit. What do you call it? Canadian tux?
Yeah.
Right? Except for mine was green. Green. A green denim suit, Bach. And cap that with a white turtleneck. Boy, I was killing them girls. I was killing them. They didn't have a choice. They never stood a chance. Bach. It was terrible. Now, the afro was afro, and goodness gracious, but these shoes were 99 cents, bro. I want to say that Converse were $14, maybe? Maybe in 1977? You know, like in today's world, not a big deal. But didn't have them. And then when it was then in, so in 9th grade, I wore canvas white Converse. That was the shoe of the team. We were county champions in basketball, and we had the white high top Converse Chuck Taylors.
You played basketball in these,
bruh. To think about it now, because if you put those on your feet right now and tried to play basketball in them, I don't know how we did it, and there were people who did it in low top, which I don't even understand now. I don't even understand. I don't know, bro. I don't know. When I think about it, I don't know, man. I don't know how we did it. Like, we wore Converse cotton shirts. Like, how? I if I put on a cotton shirt right now, it is crazy. Like, they don't, So they says that the price of Converses in the 1970s maxed out. It was like $10. Mm. And then in 1978, Dr. J and Converse decided to go leather. Leather All-Stars. And Bach, it is such a part of my youth. Our school colors were blue and gray. White, blue, and gray. Cowboys. Think Cowboys. And everybody went and bought these. And I want to say they were $19, maybe $24, for the leather high-top Dr. J All-Stars, right? With the single star and bar on the side. And, boy, you couldn't tell me nothing. Because that was a whole week's paper route money. But it had to be done. For football, I did the same thing, and the team was wearing black Pumas. Black Puma, white stripe for football. I want to say those are $29. But again, we basically wore Dallas Cowboy uniforms. And in that era, yeah, Roger Staubach was wearing the black. But I wanted the white. I wanted the all-white Converse cleats. So I went into my paper delivery boy money, and I bought me some. Now, the ability to buy two pair of shoes. Listen, Bob, you had your school shoes, the ones you wore, like the one that mom and dad bought for you to wear to school. And then hopefully they weren't Wolf Dogs. Like if you got Pro Keds, I don't think Adidas had really blown up that way, but Pete Maravich had given Adidas some game. So that was kind of a thing. And then for baseball, Pumas, like Puma spikes. So I don't know what you were wearing in high school. Do you remember what shoes you were wearing in high school?
A variety of them. I think I was kind of in the same type of deal. I think I went out. I don't know what I wore day to day, but I know I went out and got some T-Max and some Iversons for the basketball court.
Right. And I think part of it was that was the beginning of the shoe culture, sports shoe culture. Because this is, again, imagine that I played in high school when Jordans didn't exist, right? You kind of saw what the players were wearing, but not really. Again, the Converse explosion really sort of happened with Magic and Bird in the pros, not even in college. I want to say in the pros, that they came up with the white with the Laker gold and a purple star for Magic, the horrible green Celtics with the white star. Oh boy, those are terrible. I never understood why they didn't go with the white with the green star.
Yeah.
Like that would have been, I could have bought in. My rival high school, they did the Celtics color, so they were white and green, and that's what they would pull out. The Pistons were white and blue, and then Dr. J with the white and blue or the white and red. Now,
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The summer of my sophomore year, my stepdad took me to work for his brother, my uncle, on rooftops. So we would demolition rooftops in D.C. Now it's 1,048 degrees on top of these rooftops, and it's all tar and just sweltering. And I want to say I made $5 an hour back in 1979, whatever the minimum wage was. But I think, just imagine. Now, in theory, that's a terrible thing. But I would have $400 every 2 weeks in the summer. Look, man, I was like walking like George Jefferson when that little check showed up every 2 weeks. Now, I've never been more tired in my life working on a rooftop. So people who work out in this weather on rooftops, pulling heat and throwing them into demolition trucks, and if like a building caught on fire, you would go in and demolition the building, clear it and all that stuff. And I was still delivering papers in the morning. And I want to say I got $40 a week delivering papers, which was still, that was my money. I don't know. Like the hand-me-downs, I couldn't do hand-me-downs because I had three older sisters. My brother is 10 years older than I am. Eight years. So the hand-me-down portion of it wasn't, that wasn't going to happen. But also, I had a ton of cousins, and sometimes the cousins were a little bit older and you could do that. I'm just saying, I don't know that I've outgrown the need to feel like I belonged, even in the neighborhood. Like, you caught heat. If you were the poor kid in the neighborhood, you caught heat. So, but delivering papers and working in the summer, that was literally, I mean, I've heard folks here talk about tasseling in the summer, just to go and one, get the work ethic involved, get up, show up, do the thing. It won't be pleasant, but it'll be worth it. But I learned pretty early that I couldn't wait for 2-a-day football practice in the sweltering heat because it was going to be less hellish than being on the top of the rooftop in D.C. like with grownups. Like, we're doing grown-up work, man. I'm 14 years old. What are you talking about? Like, you would bring a shirt to sweat in and then another shirt to sweat in after you sweated out the other two shirts. So I don't know. I don't know. Bach, would you consider yourself, did you have a rich upbringing, poor, mid, how would you classify?
Probably middle. I mean, I had a bigger family too, five siblings, four siblings and myself. So the hand-me-down thing was real. I would say probably middle.
Yeah, it was, you know, and I was bused to a white school. So then this was the in full preppy era. So my high school was every breakfast club personality, that was my high school. That literally, like every version. So you had the prep, you had the jock, you had the geek, then you had the kind of the outsider, and technically I belonged in each of them but didn't belong in any of them, right? Because I was the star athlete, or I was an athlete that they knew. And quite frankly, I was the black athlete for a lot of like Barry Thompson was the black athlete the year before me. I was the black athlete for my class, and then Stanley Wilson was the black guy for the next. Like we had a black guy. We were the black guy. And then like they would go, we had a ski club. My high school had a ski club where once a month they would go to Massanutten or, you know, Ski Liberty, and I ain't going. What are y'all talking about? I don't have skis. I don't have a ski suit. I don't know. That's not really a thing I do. So you had to learn and adjust. And those things are the things that you carry into your life. And then I figured out that through sports, it would give me personality to figure out what to wear. Because I always had like t-shirts from, you know, baseball team, basketball, football, you know, whatever they gave us, whatever sweats they gave us, that was the thing to wear. And then every Friday you wore your jersey. So, you know, and I was always in season. So you would wear your football, your away. If you were playing a home game, you wore your away jersey to school. If you were away, you wore your home jersey to school that Friday. And then you would, you know, the jeans. Did you ever use the word dungarees for jeans?
I don't think so.
We had, were you old enough to ever wear tough skins?
I do not know of that either.
You never wore. Listen, text line. Let me know if you ever wore like the tough skins were the stiffest. Bach, I'm pretty sure that people who worked in the coal mines wore tough skins. Like, if you were a welder, you wore tough skins. And then the preppy kids, we had preppy kids who then took over overalls and turned them into... Eric, isn't that right? The tough skin life was real, bro. Them things, and I had, being that we were poor, my mom and grandma would have these patches, knee patches, that when the knees wore out, they would sew the patches on the inside of the jeans, right? And it was the same color. Yep, tough skins with patches, bro. You know, it was war out there, Bach. It was a battle. Those built-in patches, man, and your knees weren't always built to battle those knee patches from the inside, Bach. Your knees would. Hey, you would have to go through some things, man. You would. And then Barney says this. He says, I remember getting dressed up and wearing penny loafers. So there were two things, right? With the penny still in it for good luck, right? So in the base of the shoe, there's a slit, and you would put penny. They were called penny loafers, and you would keep a penny in there. Because at some point, that was the thing of value. But, you know, 70s and 80s, not really. And then we had this thing called earth shoes, which was this brown, suede-ish, semi-boot. But, Bach, the bottom of the shoe was built in, like, waves. And it was, like, it was rubber, but it was wavy. And they were called earth shoes. Well, then the preppy kids took over the earth shoes. And then the penny loafers went with your khakis and your Jordache. So you would wear Jordache. And then the emblem of the era was the Izod shirt with the collar up, which signed that you belonged to the frat club, or the sorority club, whatever it was. And then, Bach, in the most hellish of things, someone came up with the idea, not only were you going to wear the Izod with your collar up, but you wore another white shirt over top of that with the collar up underneath it.
Ah, yes.
Right? God, we were idiots. Man! Bach, can you imagine? Again, 100 degrees with a golf shirt with the collar up, and then a button-down shirt over top of that with a different color. So you would wear the whatever your collar-up shirt was, that like that would match your shoes or socks, right? So you would have, so if you wore a pink shirt under and a white shirt over, you would wear pink socks to match to show up in your penny loafers. We were so weird. We were so weird. White people did this. Like, that's a white people thing. And I was in a preppy school, and I didn't have a choice.
You did it, too.
There are pictures. The very first picture of the night Becky and I first met, I want to say 84. Party at her house. And this is in the summer, mind you. Or in the fall. There's a picture she took of me with a white polo shirt with a collar up, and I am wearing this light blue sweater over it, but I've got the collar up underneath the sweater. What was I even doing?
Hey, good first impression.
What? Hey, hey! Look, we still have the picture. I laughed. I was like, because you decided that day you were going to marry that dude, which is hilarious because there was nothing about it. Like, but once I got out of college, I transitioned quickly because that's when. And as one ad says, don't forget the parachute pants. That's when parachute pants started to happen. And then they had these combinations. There was I want to say Hot Topic. There were these stores that were urban stores, urban dress stores that you would go in, and every payday you'd go in and you would buy an outfit. And some of them had, so it was a blue pant, but if you zipped down the side, it had like a black filler. And then you would have, like, think of Michael Jackson, because he was probably the impetus for this. was that you would have a blazer or a vest that matched the pants, and then you would wear a white or black shirt under it. Mm. And then they had these, Bach, bless their souls, if you were a dancer back in the day, like if you were a teenager or post-college, white, fake patent leather shoes with these skinny ties that matched. And these ties, they were terrible, Bach. They were terrible. But that's how you, like, and if you had them, it was a status thing. The parachute pants, right? You'd wear the pants zipped up to start, and then somewhere through the evening, a cute girl showed up. You know, you'd unzip it and show the color and the flash, and you'd go out and do your dance. And you'd have on these white, you had to paint the white shoes, because if you were dancing in them, you scuffed the white shoes up, right? You'd scuff them. So everybody, imagine your dad having these shoes that he had to white polish once a week so that he could wear them to the bar. Although I would imagine in Nebraska that may probably wasn't a thing. That might have been a DC thing. That might have been a big city thing. That might not have been a Nebraska thing. But we'll read some of these texts because y'all are funny. Y'all are funny. It says, he says, don't forget the parachute pants. Old dad says, dungarees was a real thing. Those knee patches on the inside itched. Man, they itched. And you, Bach, you, that's literally, you would spend your all day like rubbing your leg because that's what was going on. Eric says, oh, the look on my mom's face when I tried to clean grass stains off my brand new. Listen, your go to school clothes, your brand new go to school clothes, when you came home, march yourself straight to your room, take off your good clothes, or put on your play clothes. Bach, did you have play clothes?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that I had designated one.
Oh, man. If my mom came home from work and I still had on my good school clothes, oh, man, I was going to get it. I was going to get it. Yeah, I was. Barney was talking about the penny loafers. Yeah, the built-in 0220s. Yeah, he wore them built-in knee patches. Yeah, it was the thing. The Zons, Lee Pipes, good call. 1171, yeah, those... Man, born in 89. But yeah, and Augie, the tough skins. They were legit. Like the Go online and get your son some tough skins, bro. Like go find him. We'll go to break, we'll come back. We'll talk some sports, but my goodness gracious, culturally, the advancement. Shoes are a thing. We'll be right back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.